Bible. Bible, ladies and gentlemen, that's maybe here in Chesterfield, like other parts of the country, Bible, Word of God, not known amongst you. I'd like to give you the opportunity here this morning to receive a copy of God's Word. Take away with you, it's only an extract from the Bible, but give you a taste, give you a summary, really, of what the Bible is all about from start to finish. Were you to read Mark's Gospel here, you would find that it's not about religion, it's about a person. That person, his name is Jesus, and he is, the Bible says, declared to be the Son of God with power by his resurrection from the dead. So Mark's Gospel, you see, is like a summary of what the whole Bible's about. You find Jesus, you know, that he goes about doing good, healing the sick, and giving eyesight to the blind, curing the deaf, taking away terrible disease, delivering people from the powers of evil that are still abroad in the world today. World needs Jesus as much as it ever did back in those days. Evil stalks the world. Terror comes in the name of religion. You'll find the same religion here in Mark's Gospel that came against the Son of God, that hated him, reviled him, and in the end, of course, crucified him. No different today, people. No different today. It's not religion that you need, it's Jesus. It's the Son of God. The only good person that ever walked the face of this earth. And what did we do with him? We crucified him. We nailed him to a cross. And where did you come? The same fashion again today. You just do the same all over again. It's the sinful hearts of men and women that he came to change. You see, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, says God. None righteous, no, not one. None who understands and seeks after God. Some people, they claim to be good people, but I don't see it. Now when I read God's Word, the Bible, you ever told a lie, lusted after the opposite sex, stolen anything, all such as these are excluded from the kingdom of God. So you see, people, as Jesus says, only God is good. Only God. There is none good. Only the Son of God, God manifest in the flesh. So take a copy of God's Word. See for yourself the things that we declare to you here this morning are indeed in accordance with God's Word. God's Word has the ability no other has, and that is to make you wise, not so much clever. You got plenty of clever. You understand the origins of the species, you see. You know how the universe came into being. You got all kinds of clever ideas and philosophies of men. Oh, you don't want for cleverness. You got plenty of that, but no wisdom. What if God has the ability to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in, not in religion, but in Jesus Christ, in the Son of God, who died for sinners and rose again from the dead to justify the same and to give new life to men and women broken by sin and iniquity. Of course, the Bible tells us, you know, the heart of the gospel, I mean the good news concerning Jesus, and the heart of the gospel, you see, it's about forgiveness, a forgiveness that we all need. The Bible, you can read these words for yourself, Psalm 86 and verse 5, "For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you." God is ready to forgive people. God is ready to forgive. Are you ready to be forgiven? Here's a question for you today. Do you know where to go? And do you know who to go to when you need that forgiveness? When your conscience kicks in? Because sooner or later it's going to do. It might not be until the day of judgment. I hope for your sake it will be before then. But today your conscience is asleep. Today your conscience is dead. Maybe you're one of those people who has seared their conscience, as with a hot iron, is how the Bible puts it. People that no longer have any sense of right or wrong, any knowledge, any feeling, any emotion at all when they do wrong. You know, these people that stand in the docks of your courts, you know, today, and they're found guilty of the most atrocious crimes against their fellow human beings, but they stand there with no emotion at all, not an ounce of remorse in them. Those are people that have seared their consciences. But you know, one day, that conscience of yours is going to be awakened. Do you know where to go? Do you know what to do? Do you know how to obtain that forgiveness that God speaks about? You know what to do with a guilty conscience? Some people, of course, they turn to drugs, legal and illegal. You know, they turn to tranquilizers, numb the conscience, just enable them to carry on living just the same old way with the same old sins. That's no way to deal with a guilty conscience, friends. Some people, they turn to the alcohol. They seek to drown. They seek to numb the conscience, you know, by drowning it with alcohol. But again, you see, it only works for a while. It only pacifies your mind for just a short time. But then the alcohol, the drugs wear off, and your conscience is back again. You know what hell is? Hell is the place, Jesus says, where the worm does not die. A conscience that burns and gnaws at you for all eternity. Now, people, that's no way to deal with a guilty conscience. There's only one place to go, one person to go to, and that's God and Jesus Christ. God is ready to forgive, Bible says. Are you ready to be forgiven? Come to the Passion Week again. You know, Easter weekend, it's not about bunnies. It's not about chocolate. It's not about eggs. It's about the Son of God who died on the cross and rose again after the third day, so that men and women like you and I could find forgiveness, that we might be pardoned, and that we might be assured of the forgiveness of God, acceptance with God, and of course, well, a home one day in heaven. But of course, you know, not too long ago, you then have to tell people in England, you know, you then have to inform you that it was Passion Week and what it was about. You knew what Easter was about, you know? You knew the reality of it, but not no more. You've gone back as a nation. You've turned your back on the gospel. And you're filled with nothing but emptiness. There's a vacuum. And it's going to be filled with something. It's going to be filled with heathen religion or something. You've turned to godlessness. You've turned to evolutionary nonsense. And now, of course, as a nation running on empty, you got a generation of people that doesn't know where to find that forgiveness of God. Well, we're here this morning to tell you where you can find that forgiveness. The Bible, the Old Testament, the prophet Moses, he says that without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. If you're religious and your religion hasn't got a cross in it, hasn't got the shed blood of Jesus Christ in it, there's no forgiveness. You may be a member of a cult. You may be a member of a large cult called the Roman Catholic Church, Jehovah's Witnesses, Islam, false idolatrous religion, with no sacrifice for sin, with no forgiveness, no room for forgiveness. Without the shedding of blood, God said long, long ago, there can be no forgiveness of sins. But God Himself has provided the blood sacrifice, His own Son, Jesus Christ, who came into the world for this reason and this purpose, to save sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Christ died for sinners according to the scriptures, was buried, and after the third day rose again from the dead. Christ died for the ungodly. People, it's all over the Bible. Christ, a person, not a religion. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is what the Bible's about. And He is the one and the only one who can bring this forgiveness to you. But that's the heart of the gospel. It's the heart of the Bible's message. Forgiveness, people. God's Lamb who takes away the sin of the world and is still taking people's sins away today to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's the question here for you this morning. Not are you religious? Have you been forgiven? Are your sins washed away in the blood of the Lamb? Hymn writer asked the question, what will wash away my stain? And he answers his own question. He says, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Because there is no other commodity that will wash you and make you clean and acceptable to God. Sin defiles. Sin makes us dirty, filthy, unclean before God. Out of the heart, says Jesus, comes forth evil thoughts, murder, blasphemy, theft, immorality, all kinds of uncleanness. Comes out of the heart, comes out of the minds of men and women, turned into actions. That's what defiles a person, what comes out of them, not what you put into them. And it's the heart, you see, it's the heart that must be dealt with. And it's only the Bible, it's only the gospel, people, the good news concerning Jesus Christ that addresses the heart problem. Religion doesn't touch the heart. Religion will change you on the outside, change things that you do, places you go, people you meet with, but it won't alter, it won't change your heart. It's only the gospel that can do that. But that's why you don't like the gospel. That's why you rail against the gospel. That's why you complain about the preaching of the gospel. Because it comes to the heart, it addresses the heart, and it demands a heart change. Jesus says you must be born again. Except a man's born again, he can't see it. He can't understand the kingdom of God, let alone enter into it. It's the heart that must be changed. The heart must be cleansed. The heart, you know, the defilement in your heart must be shifted. But go where you will, try. Market stalls, stores throughout your town, ask them for some commodity. Go to your cycles, you know, ask them for something that'll change your heart, make you a good person, a kind person, take the hatred out of your heart, and the bitterness, and the unforgiveness, and the lust after worldly passion. Ask them for some commodity that'll change your heart in that way. They'll laugh you out of the place. They'll tell you there's no such thing to be found. But yes, there is. It's the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, shed for sinners. But listen up, people. Unless you're born again of God's Spirit and washed in the blood of the Lamb, there's no place for you in heaven, excluded from heaven. Nothing, people, nothing that sins will ever enter God's heaven. Listen up to what God says about heaven, His heaven. He says nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's my question for you. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Have you been born again? Has your name been written in that book, people? Have you been made alive in Jesus? Outside, says God, are the dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who practices falsehood. Excluded, outside of God's heaven, no place for the unforgiven in heaven. You see, people, here's the problem. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not a man, there's not a woman that has not and does not sin. We sin every day, every hour of every day, in thought, in word, in action, every which way, people, because that's all that we are, born into this world, born in sin, conceived in sin, and practicing sin, just walking, breathing, talking, lumps of sin, that's all we are. From the top of our heads to the tips of our toes. That's the fashion in which we're born. That's the natures that we're born with. Sinful natures. And people, unless that nature's changed, unless you're reborn, unless you're born again, unless by the supernatural, miraculous power of Almighty God, your heart is changed and made to desire what you now hate and hate what you now desire. No one, people, no one ever loved God, desired God, desired holiness, desired purity, desired love. No one ever loved their neighbor. Not until they were born again. Not until God changed their hearts, their sinful hearts. And only God Himself can do that. God and Jesus Christ. It's what Christ came for. Bible testifies. He came, people, to mend the broken heart. He came to change the broken heart. Came to give you a love for God and for your neighbor. That's the sum of God's law, that you should love God and love your neighbor. Why do you think it is men and women go about the world killing and slaughtering one another? Just never comes to an end. Why? Because of the hatred in men's hearts for God. You can't kill God, but of course you can do the next best thing. You can kill man made in the image of God. But you see, people, you never did love your neighbor. You never did love God. And so therefore, people, that sin, that's the epitome of sin. Cut off, separated from God because of that sin. There's a breach between you and God. Alienated from God. Cut off from God in time now and then for all eternity. If you're not saved, if you're not forgiven, if you're not washed in the blood of the Lamb and born of God's Spirit, cut off from God forever. Ostracized, alienated from God and from heaven. But that alienation, people, has been dealt with. Jesus Christ came and loved and lived and died. Died for sinners, died for lost, rebellious sinners, died for unclean, broken-hearted people. It's what he came for, to heal the alienation. Christ, by the blood of his cross, has made peace with God for the world. But that peace has to be received. That peace has to be received willingly, consciously, deliberately by you in faith. It's when you see in faith you receive the Son of God, you receive that faith, you receive that peace. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. But to as many as did receive him, to them he gave the power, he gave the right, he gave the authority to become children of God, brought into the family of God, embraced by God, no longer alienated, no longer separated from God as a result of their iniquities. So the peace has been made, and the peace is offered to you. The Son of God is offered to you. Even Jesus, the Christ of God, the Messiah, who came, who lived and loved and died for sinners such as you and I, that we might be healed, forgiven, restored to God. But that forgiveness, people, is to be found only in Jesus. You don't find it in man's religion. You don't find it in man's works. You don't find it in psychology. I don't find it in politics, you know. Man has no answer to what he has become and chosen to be, a sinner before God. All the cleverness and all the politicians put together, United States of Europe, United Nations put together, because they deny the reality of sin. They deny the reality of man's being and what he has become and chosen to be. A sinner before God, an enmity against God. Until you come, people, to that place of bowing the knee to the truth of God's work, that you're a fallen sinner, that you're depraved, deceitful of heart, and desperately wicked, and in need of God's forgiveness, until you come to that place of acknowledging the truth of what you are before God and your need of forgiveness. There is no repair for man. The slaughtering and killing and the terror will continue. How long will it be before the cities of England are burning, terrorized and bombed? How long will it be before it comes to us? It's got to come, people. Because it's the judgment of God upon Europe as a whole. to whom the gospel came in power and transformed the cities and nations of Europe. But now Europe's so very clever. Now Europe doesn't need the gospel. Now England doesn't need the gospel. England's so clever, so enlightened, don't need the gospel no more. So clever, you can sort out all the problems by yourself. But you can't take the hatred out of those men's hearts. You can't take the terror out of their hearts. You can't take the bitterness and the hatred out of your own hearts, never mind anybody else's. So until you come, people, till you come to that place, ready to kneel, to bow before the truth of God, that man has sinned and come short of the glory of God, all men, including yourself, that you need to be saved from what you've chosen to be, a sinner on the run from God, separated, alienated from God, until you're ready to acknowledge your sin, to confess your sin. But here's the truth, people, that God is just, and God, when you confess your sins, is faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. There is forgiveness with God that he may be feared. God is ready to forgive people. Are you ready to be forgiven? That's the question. Are you ready to get back to God from the dark path of sin? Well, there's only one way. Jesus says so. I am the way, he says, the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father only through me. No other name, says the Bible, under heaven. Matters not where you came from. Matters not what your color, your creed might be. Whether you come from the east or the west, the north or the south, no other name under the entire canopy of heaven whereby a person can be saved. Only the name of Jesus. You got it? You got it? You remember? I told you, maybe not today, maybe tomorrow, maybe next week if God gives that to you. But don't presume upon it. Maybe, perhaps, there's somebody under my voice here this morning in Chesterfield, and this is the last time you ever hear the gospel. The last time you ever hear the overtures of God's love. People, listen up to me. Time is short. You don't know what a day will bring forth. But you remember I told you, when that conscience kicks in, when God convicts you of your sin, your righteousness, his justice, people, remember I told you, his name is Jesus. J-E-S-U-S, not Muhammad, not Buddha, not Confucius, not Allah. Jesus is his name. He is Lord, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You either bow to him as your Savior, or you bow to him as your judge. Which will it be, people? Forgiveness, forgiveness. There is forgiveness with God, that he may be feared. Draw near to him, and he will draw near to you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my plea for grace. In the day of my trouble I call upon you, for you answer me. People, for you, O Lord, are good, and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. Call the name of the Lord, and you shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. God's promise, turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is no other. The true and living God, the God of the Bible, the one whom you know exists just as much as I do. Stop suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. Come out of the self-deception. Own up to your sin. Call upon the name of the Lord, and He shall save you from sin's penalty. Wages are still dead. Get yourself washed and made clean in the blood of the Lamb. That blood spilled on that day that we call Good Friday. What's good, you say, about a man being crucified on a Roman cross? This, people, it was appointed that he should do so by God Himself. And people, he was dying that death that you should have died. He was taking the punishment. He was taking the judgment. He was taking the damnation that's due to sinners such as you and I. That when you believe, when you call upon His name and faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, that you could be saved. Salvation is the reality. Forgiveness is available. Jesus is a Savior, a mighty Savior, alive from the dead and alive forevermore. Risen, conquering Savior, Jesus. Believe on His name and you shall be saved. Salvation, people. That's what the Bible's about. Salvation. You'd like to have a copy of God's Word? Take it home with you. Read for yourself and see that these things are so. It's offered to you free of charge.